This is Panthers Inside Depth Preview of the Week.
He scores!
On the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Here's the voice of the Panthers, Doug Blagans.
Welcome into another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you on a Saturday morning, as always, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey. And, well, great to have you on board here this morning. The Panthers are wrapping up a busy week, wrapping up a homestand. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a moment. And I know they did wrap up a homestand last night, but never fear. The Panthers are right back on home ice Wednesday, so you can come back out to Amerant Bank Arena, see the Panthers and the Coyotes coming up on Wednesday at 7. Again, more on the schedule that's coming up ahead of us here in just a few moments. Again, we'll talk about the week that was. Sam Reinhart, red hot. We'll talk about what it all means. Also joining us next segment, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, Billy Lindsay, kind enough to stop by. We'll talk all things Panthers with him, talk about the homestand, talk about that win streak not too long ago. We'll talk about what's coming up for the Panthers. So again, lots to get to with Billy coming up in just a little bit. And we'll hear a cut from the most recent episode of the Territory Talk podcast, the Panthers official podcast presented by Baptist Health. We'll visit with Panthers center Kevin Stenland, and if you like what you hear, well, the whole episode is always available wherever you get your podcasts. So we'll hear from Kevin Stenland coming up a little bit later on here on this episode of Panthers Insider. So again, lots to get to as we move along here over the course of the hour. Doug Plagans with you as always. Folks, the Panthers app is the brand new home for all things Panthers. Download the Panthers app today, FloridaPanthers.com. Stay up to date on all the latest news, videos, stats, scores, sales, foundation updates, and so much more. That's on the Panthers app. There's even a little button that says radio, top right corner of the main screen. You hit that, you'll get our broadcast every single night, whether we're at home, on the road, regardless of what station we're on. The Panthers app is going to have the Panthers broadcast each and every game. You can listen to every game right there on the Panthers app. And folks, the Panthers value pack, it's back for this season. Each value pack includes Panthers tickets for four, a hot dog, popcorn, and soda per ticket. Go to FloridaPanthers.com/value pack for more information. Well, taking a quick look at the road ahead for the Panthers, I mentioned they just wrapped up a homestand. The Panthers will get things going once again Monday night in Nashville. It's going to be an 8 o'clock Eastern faceoff. Panthers and the Nashville Predators, 7:30. We're on the air with Panthers preview, and then 8 o'clock Eastern, the puck drops, Panthers and the Predators. Big game for both teams as the Panthers will meet Nashville for the first of two matchups this season. Something else worth noting, that's one of two games the Panthers have left on their regular season schedule outside the Eastern time zone. So I've mentioned this in previous episodes. We've mentioned it on our game broadcast, but as you get into the deeper portions of the season and the Panthers get into the parts of the schedule where the playoff races really are heating up, it's going to be a scheduling advantage for the Panthers that a lot of their travel the rest of the way is within the Eastern time zone. It's much easier to travel north-south within your own time zone than to be going east and west across time zones when those games get to be so important late in the year. So the Panthers will play one of their two remaining games outside the Eastern time zone coming up on Monday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. Panthers then back home to take on Arizona on a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So you can join us at Amerant Bank Arena for that one. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Panthers and an Arizona team that's trying to surge into a playoff spot and grab a hold on a playoff spot over in the Western Conference. And then the Panthers will play a couple of teams on the road later on next week, two teams that are fighting for playoff positioning as well. Panthers will be in Pittsburgh on Friday at 7 o'clock, and then a week from today at 7 o'clock, the Panthers will be on the road against the New York Islanders at 7:30, and that's going to wrap up the Panthers' pre-All-Star break portion of the schedule, if you can believe it. After that, the calendar will flip to February, and the Panthers will have a three-game homestand February 6th, 8th, and 10th against Philadelphia, Washington, and the Colorado Avalanche. So that's what's coming up. It's going to be a home-heavy month of February. for the Panthers, so you don't want to miss any action. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK is always to get your tickets. Well, looking back at the week that was for the Panthers, picked up some points, but the Panthers didn't get all the results they'd like. The Panthers back on Monday had a 5-4 overtime loss against the Anaheim Ducks. On Wednesday night, the Detroit Red Wings came in, and the Panthers fell in overtime that night by a 3-2 final score. So with one game left in the homestand, the Panthers found themselves sitting at 27-13-4 going into last night's game. But a note on the game Wednesday against Detroit. Sam Reinhart scored a shorthanded goal in that one. It marked Panthers history. Here's how it sounded on the Florida Panthers radio network.
Clear for the Panthers out to center, where this one's taken by Gostisbehere. Straight on, it's Larkin. Dancing in for Detroit, poke checked at the line. Kulikov nudged it back out to center. And in for the Panthers goes Anton Lundell. And for a chance, top shot, they score! And who else but Sam Reinhart as he beats Lyon upstairs. And the Panthers take a 1-0 lead. A shorthanded goal for Sam Reinhart. And that's Panthers history right there.
Why was it Panthers history, you ask? Well, for Sam Reinhart, that was a goal in an 8th straight game. Prior to that, Sam Reinhart and Pavel Bure had the Panthers franchise record for goal-scoring streaks. The Panthers' goal-scoring streak record prior to that was 7 games. That was a goal in an 8th straight game for Sam Reinhart, so something no Panther had ever done. It was also an 8th straight game with a special teams goal for Sam Reinhart, whether it be power play or a shorthanded goal like that one was. Nobody in NHL history has ever scored a goal on special teams in 8 straight games. Sam Reinhart already had the record for that. He already had the longest streak, but he built on it there. So 8 straight games with a goal on special teams, Sam Reinhart building on an NHL record. However, the Panthers did fall in that game in overtime. 3-2 was the final score. Last night at Amerant Bank Arena, the Panthers fell 6-4 to the Minnesota Wild. Of course, didn't get a point last night, so the Panthers saw their winless skid extend last night, but it was a game in which the Panthers, well, they tried to fight back late. They almost were able to get that game tied up, and unfortunately, Minnesota did get the empty net goal with about 11 seconds remaining to extend their advantage to 6-4, and that's how the game would end. The Panthers currently sit at 27-14-4, second place in the Atlantic Division, 6 points up on the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are the third-place team in the Atlantic. And the Panthers still putting some pressure on Boston, 5 points behind the Bruins, but the Panthers right now pretty firmly in that second spot in the Atlantic. And with nearly half of the regular season schedule to go, there certainly is still plenty of time to put some pressure on Boston, and the Panthers have 2 head-to-head matchups remaining with Boston as we move along in the schedule. But the Panthers fell to the Wild 6-4 last night, we have some sound from the locker room post-game a night ago as the Panthers lost to Minnesota 6-4. First up, here's Panthers defenseman Aaron Ekblad. Some thoughts on the loss to Minnesota last night.
Yeah, obviously losing 4 in a row is tough. Holding ourselves accountable to a hard, tough, strong, resilient, responsible game is important, and that's something that we're gonna have to get back to. You know, scoring the first goal, taking care of leads, not taking penalties, all really important keys for our success, and having a good start is, you know, number one.
So Aaron Ekblad of the Panthers right there had a 4-point game last night and had a really nice game overall, was +4. Minnesota, though, did all their damage on the power play for the most part. The Panthers just falling short in a close game. Here's Anton Lundell, the Panthers, post-game last night on how the Panthers can get back on the winning end of these close games.
Yeah, that's what we try to do. We believe we can do that. 9 games to tough games against good teams. Now we've been playing pretty good, but just haven't been able to get the last goal, the one goal extra. But it will come. We just need to stick with it and play even harder.
Well, as Anton said right there, that's really what it comes down to with these games. Panthers have been close, and it's just a matter of getting that one extra goal. One goal either way has been enough to sway the outcome in some games. But as I mentioned, the Panthers still find themselves in a really good spot in the Atlantic Division standings, still in a place where they're putting some pressure on that top seed currently, Boston, and the Panthers have a bit of a cushion between themselves and the Toronto Maple Leafs behind them. We'll tell you about what's going on across the rest of a Saturday in the National Hockey League coming up a little bit later on in Panthers Insider. We'll also hear from Kevin Stenlin, who joined James and Olive and I on the most recent episode of the Territory Talk podcast, available wherever you can find your podcast. But coming up next, Billy Lindsay's going to stop by. We'll talk all things Florida Panthers. Folks, come out to Parks and Pints Beer Fest, presented by Funky Buddha Brewery. That's going to be Saturday, February 24th at Amerant Bank Arena. Sample unlimited beer, listen to live music, watch the Cats defend home ice against Washington that night at 6 o'clock. Portion of the proceeds benefits the Panthers Foundation. Must be 21 or older to enter. One of the cool events we've got out at Amerant Bank Arena every season, the Parks and Pints Beer Fest, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. So come and check that out, February 24th at Amerant Bank Arena, and then check out the Panthers against Alex Ovechkin, Capitals, coming up that night as well at 6 o'clock. And again, must be 21 or older to enter. Just getting started here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagan's with you. We'll step aside. We'll come back. My broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, Billy Lindsay, is going to stop by talking all things Florida Panthers on the other side of the break. This is Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagan's here with you as always, talking Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. The Panthers falling last night by a 6-4 score to the Minnesota Wild, so the Panthers will look to rebound when they hit the road to take on the Nashville Predators, 8 o'clock Eastern time, coming up on Monday night. So we're on the air with Panthers preview beginning at 7:30 p.m. The next Panthers home game will be on a Wednesday. The Panthers at 7 p.m. will play host to the Arizona Coyotes. Looking ahead, folks, come out to Pucks and Pints Beer Fest, presented by Funky Buddha Brewery, coming up on Saturday, February 24th at Amerant Bank Arena. Sample unlimited beer, listen to live music, watch the Cats defend home ice against the Washington Capitals that night at 6 o'clock. Portion of the proceeds benefits the Panthers Foundation. Must be 21 or older to enter. So that coming up, Pucks and Pints Beer Fest on February 24th. Don't want to miss it. Always a great event. Time now to bring in special guest, friend of the program, my friend and yours, broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, Billy Lindsay, kind enough to stop by here. And well, the Panthers last night, Billy, 6-4, they fell to the Minnesota Wild. A late surge in that game. We're almost able to get it tied up before Minnesota was able to ice it away with that Ryan Hartman empty netter. But the Panthers, the better team at 5-on-5, really got the offense going in the third period. Unfortunately, Minnesota's power play really shifted things in their favor for a big chunk of the game. But I know I just threw a lot at you. Good morning, and well, what do you take away from last night's game?
Just little things are going wrong during this losing streak. That 9 winning streak, everything was going right. Do you want to blame us or however? You ended up shorthanded 6 times, give up 5 power play goals. You just can't have that happen. You're forced to play from behind. You end up with 90 shot attempts in the game, which is a wild number. And that third period, trying to come back, get it within to 5-4, and you're just steamrolling. If the game was played 5-on-5, Minnesota not able to keep up with this Panther grouping. The only way Minnesota had a chance in that game was through the power play. They can put some explosive players on the power play. They showed that. Panthers had 4 power plays of their own. Didn't capitalize against the worst penalty killing group in the league. That kind of stuff sort of happens. But you can go back and look at the games that they've lost, these 4 games that they've lost, and they played well in stretches during them and showed. It's just been minor hiccups throughout the course of this, and that's what happens in the NHL. And you get a couple of points on the homestand, you're still in good shape, and you show when you're at your best, you still can be a dominant team. Not to worry about it. Paul Maurice and the coaching staff, ups and downs, dips, 82 games. Gonna happen. Bit disappointing. Yes. But move on from it. Worry about the next game. There's clean things up. It's got to be more of a 60-minute effort, I guess is the best part to put it. We could see the third period and spurts in the other games. Just got to be able to, like they did on the road trip where everything was clicking. You just got to get back to that level. The good news from last night, Lundell, Louis Durinen, no Barkov. They stepped up in big way. And Aaron Ekblad, Forsling plus 32 on the year. Still a lot of good things to point out with this Panther team.
Billy Lindsay here with us on a Saturday morning on Panthers Insider. Of course, Panthers getting ready to go on the road for one game to take on Nashville coming up Monday at 8 Eastern. And Billy, you mentioned this Panthers team very recently won 9 games in a row. They've gotten themselves to a point where they're 13 games above NHL 500. Fell short in a couple of games recently where they did still manage to get points. So when you put it all together, because the Panthers have gotten themselves to a good spot, because they've seen what it takes to get the positive results consistently, are we still at a point where, assuming they rebound here in one of these upcoming games, are we still at a point where you could maybe eventually look back and say that a bit of adversity is something that you could use to build on in the middle of a season?
You'd rather go through adversity now than in the playoffs. Let's put that way. And you're going to have to find your way through things. No Barkov in the lineup. There's things that happen through 82 games. You don't have your legs. It's whatever happens. It's not fully concentrated, locked in like you'd always like to be. And then it gets dialed back in. But I just kind of say it all the time, is that you just mediate the lows and you ride the highs. And so far this year, the Panthers have been able to squash the lows pretty good. It's, in effect, a 1-3 homestand. You got 2 points out of it. You would like it to be better if you go out and now string some wins together. And you ride the highs longer than you're on the lows. Everything turns out all right in the end. But it's, to me, I just evaluate the team. I know that there's no question marks to me, because what I see, and what a lot of these games could have went in a different mm-hmm. direction. It's just something here, something there that goes wrong. So yes, it's adversity, but what I see on the ice and what I know that they're capable of, and what's happening in that dressing room, and the belief what they did last year, there's not much worry from my side going through what long 82 game seasons year after year and the stuff that goes into it. It's a hiccup, and it's still, whatever anyone wants to say, this is a darn good club.
It absolutely is. Billy Lindsay here with us, and one big reason that they've been able to have the record that they've had so far this season is Sam Reinhart. And last night, that 8-game goal-scoring streak came to a halt, but it was the longest streak in NHL history with special teams goals. He had 8 straight games with a goal on special teams. It was the longest goal-scoring streak in Panthers history, scoring in 8 straight games. He's already matched his career high in goals, 33 in the first 44. Of course, last night was game number 45. But Sam Reinhart, I don't know that I'd call it a breakout year, because we've known that he's a 30-plus goal guy before. But this season, it's just going to a different height. And what can you say about what he's been able to do in every part of the game in terms of his production, not only recently, but this season?
It's hard to do it, and it's hard to do it that consistently. And with the 4 shorthanded goals, the 16 play goals, the even strength goals, he's a Swiss Army knife. He's in every situation. That can't be said about a goal scorer around the league. Some goal scorers are not playing on the penalty kill. They're not playing when it's a 6-on-5 late in the game. You got him plastered to the bench. Sam Reinhart got full trust to Paul Maurice that when he's out there, he's not going to cheat the game defensively. He's going to play the right way. He plays hard. He's got a good shot. And hockey IQ, Paul Maurice talks about it all the time. He's smart. He knows where to go on the ice. So it's been a complete package. He got off rolling. You mentioned the goal total from last year, back-to-back 30-goal years. But remember the start of last year, he couldn't find a way for the puck to go in the net. It was chance after chance. Then when it got going in the second half of the season, the puck started going in. I'd really like to look at, I'm not sure on the numbers, but you go back to the second half of last year and compile the start of this year. If you put an 82-game stretch in there, you're over the 50-goal mark. I'd almost guarantee it. It's been that good for Sam Reinhart. And so going back, it's when you get into that kind of zone and belief, you just roll with it and ride with it. And he's taken it to another level, and they've needed it at times. And good for him. He's producing. The shooting percentage is going to come down. It's around 27%. That is normally going to come down. And 60 goals. If he gets 60 goals, this good. But more realistically, it's going to end up 50 at the end of the year, somewhere in that category. And the other players are going to have to chip in. But Sam Reinhart deserves to be in the All-Star game, his first ever All-Star game. And he has been the guy that has been the catalyst to this offense last year. This year, last year was Tkachuk, maybe Barkov, but you can point directly to one guy for the goal scoring, and Sam Reinhart has been Mr. Everything.
Yeah, 33 on the year, and as Billy mentioned, leading the Panthers not only in goals, but in power play goals, in shorthanded goals, in game-winning goals this season. He's doing it all for the Panthers. You mentioned Gus Forsling a little bit ago, too, but Gus Forsling, after last night, you mentioned plus 32 on the year. Forsling in his career, that puts him at plus 101. I believe, in 363 games in his National Hockey League career. He's the plus-minus stat, Billy. You and I talk about it a lot, and it maybe gets interpreted differently now than it did in previous eras, but when you're at different ends of the spectrum in plus-minus, when you're off in the extremes, looking at Gus Forsling's numbers, plain and simple, good things happen much more often than not when Gus is on the ice, and his plus-minus indicates that.
Plus 41 2 years ago, plus 19 last year, plus 32 this year. If you add that all up, that's 60, 32, 92, plus 92 in 2.5 years. Outrageous. He's not getting scored on when he's on the ice. He's the guy that's up. Ekblad has kind of become the safety valve on that unit. Forsling, with his skating ability, watch him play. He can be the fourth man, that extra layer on the attack. And he's playing with, we've watched him grow and develop as a player in blocking shots defensively and confidence. When you get picked up and you bounce around and you get picked up off of waivers, there's not a full belief that you belong in the NHL. You've got to make it happen. And he's made that happen. And now there's no looking back. It's just all about looking forward. He's a primetime defenseman in the NHL with elite skating ability. He can take the extra chance on offense because he's got the speed to get back on defense. And he fits into the team concept, the team system. And you go back to Bill Zito and some of the moves that he's made to pick up guys off waivers, some of the trades that he's been able to develop over time. He's picked some winners, and Forsling's at the top of that list. But players that aren't high draft picks, that aren't surefire bets, you get only so many looks and so many chances to make an NHL career. So if you get picked up off waivers, you're kind of tilting that area of gray area, whether you're going to make it. So when he actually came here, this is could have been, if it doesn't go right, his last chance. If it doesn't, then he gets sent back down. You might never see Gus Forsling again. But Gus Forsling says, I'm going to work. I'm going to do everything I can. I believe I belong. We're going to give you the ice time. You do it. Now you become an NHL staple, and looks like you can have a long career. It's harder to do it that way, but you have to have from a lot of perseverance and a lot of fortitude to make it when you bounce around. So he deserves, because he's gone about it that way and worked at it, and for him to reap the rewards is, I'm so happy for him. And for this Panther team, we're lucky to have him.
And it was just a home run by Bill Zito, as you mentioned, to grab him off waivers from Carolina. They just had too many guys at the time, and the Panthers wound up with Gus Forsling. There are organizations that spend a lot of time and energy and resources to try to find a defenseman like Gus Forsling, and the Panthers, and again, a lot of credit goes to Bill Zito, because they were able to identify Gus and go out and grab him when the opportunity to get him was there. Billy Lindsay here with us as we're on Panthers Insider this morning. Billy, a couple things before we let you get going here. A guy that we don't talk about a whole lot, he came in last night to the game, Anthony Stolarz, but you've seen a lot of backup goaltenders in your years around the game. You played with a lot of guys. It's not a role that's easy for everybody when you sometimes, go a week, 10 days between appearances, but Anthony Stolarz came in. He knows his role. When he's called upon, he's done a really good job for this Panthers team this season. He's kept a save percentage right around above his career average, right in the 915, 920 range all season long. to have a guy like that that knows how to handle that role the way that he has, just how important is that for a team to have a veteran guy that can manage that position, manage that role that way?
It's critical. And what a lot of it you don't see is in practice. Because Bobrovsky, the guy that's playing a lot, has got to get some rest. And you got to have your extra guys out there that want to take shots. You got to be out there. You got to be the first guy out there in the morning that's going to take shots. You got to stay after practice. And you got to do. It's not comfortable. You want to be the starter going off the ice, but you got to accept that role. You got to be a good teammate. And a lot of that develops. And then when you get called upon, a lot of the time you're not in a rhythm. You're not playing a lot of games. So you've got to put in that work in practice. So when your number is called, that you can go out there. And he's done it for a long time, and he's been consistent at doing it. And with that all being said, with Sergei Bobrovsky getting pulled last evening and Stolarz coming into the game, with Bobrovsky and his age, just wondering with Paul Maurice and the coaching staff where this is going to wander. A lot of games for Bobrovsky. Pacing around that 60 mark. Does Stolarz get more action here in the second half of the season? That's up for debate, but he's more than capable of it. And I play those backup goalies are, if you're a third, fourth liner, they become your best friends because they're always out there working with you. And it takes a special type of a mentality and attitude to play that position. But it's between the ears that you have to be mentally strong. If you're the guy that you're rolling out there and he got to be able to put in the preparation and go stone cold into a game or not play for five or six games and go in there and put up the numbers that he does just shows that he's a true professional.
And the Panthers in the second half of the season, believe, have more back-to-backs coming up, so I'm sure there will be different ways that the workload gets divided. Anthony Stolarz came in last night, made a couple of acrobatic saves shortly after he was called upon last night in the loss to the Minnesota Wild. 6-4 was the final last night, so the Panthers shifting gears to go on to take on the Nashville Predators coming up on Monday. Billy, Paul Maurice said recently that a lot of the teams the Panthers have on the schedule coming up, these are teams that 1 year ago, they're in the boat now that the Panthers were in a year ago, where they're kind of playing for their playoff lives. And Paul Maurice said on our pregame show last night when I asked him about it, it gets late earlier in the NHL than maybe it ever did because there are so many good teams battling for so few spots. That's going to be the story again when the Panthers go in and take on the Nashville Predators coming up on Monday night.
And I know Andrew Burnett got put into a tough position here, but did a good job with the Panthers and let go and there. But you can see what he's done with this Nashville team. They're right in the mix, and they're playing good hockey. And you look down that roster, there's a lot of names there. You would not say, okay, well, this was supposed to be maybe a transition year for the Predators, and some of their players are playing way above their heads and above their expectations. So Andrew Bernays has been able to get the most out of that Nashville team, and they still have the staples, Forsberg, Josi, and the goaltender, Saros. They've got a pretty good nucleus, but you look like players like Gus Nyquist that's putting the goals in, Colton Sissons having a really nice year. They get contributions throughout the line. That's forechecking team in the league. They come after you. They play hard. And you've been up to Nashville. It's never an easy place to play. It's loud. It's rocking. They're always sold out. So there are no easy games. And Nashville is one of those surprise, to me, one of the surprise teams in the West. But when the Panthers go up there to Nashville, they'll see a hungry, competitive team that is not going to make it easy on them. And maybe what the Panthers really need right now, because if they looked at the schedule, they see Anaheim coming in, and then you get Minnesota coming off a 7-3 loss against Tampa Bay. Maybe your antenna alert isn't quite as high as it should be right from the drop of the puck and kind of gets away from you. Going into Nashville, losing four in a row, the antenna's back up, and you're on high alert. So that's kind of what spikes you back into that mental zone where you need to be for being prepared. I would expect a Panther team that comes out hungry and very prepared, knowing that if they're not, they could get hurt very bad by Nashville, and that's the last thing they want to happen.
Yeah, always a raucous environment there in Nashville, regardless of the situation, so I'm sure everybody's going to be up for that one. Billy Lindsay, our guest here this morning on Panthers Insider. Billy, as always, we thank you very much for stopping by, and a Saturday with no game. We don't have too many of these, but do you have any big plans on your Saturday with no game?
Saturday, yes. I'm just traveling up. I'll be taking a plane a little bit later here this morning up to Secaucus.
Oh, little NHL Network.
Yes. Yep. So I'll be up there and doing a little bit of little work up there on the weekend, catching up, maybe watching some football. And that's going to be my weekend up in Secaucus, New Jersey. I'll be watching the Panthers game when it comes on. So I'll be catching you guys from the road, and I hope you guys have some safe travels up to Nashville and get some barbecue.
And you can watch the NHL Network and look for Billy Lindsay on there. We thank you very much, Billy, as always, for stopping by. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you very much.
That is Billy Lindsay, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network. 6-4 last night was the finals. The Panthers fell to the Minnesota Wild. They'll look to rebound coming up on Monday night in Nashville, as we were just talking about there. 80 Eastern is the drop of the puck. Big thanks, Billy Lindsay, for stopping by. We'll be back with one final segment here on Panthers Insider, a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast with Panthers center Kevin Stemlin. That's up next. Doug Plagan's here with you. This is the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. Doug Blankens here with you. Panthers fan Student Rush is back for the 23-24 season. Come party with your Panthers this season once again. Enjoy student-exclusive pricing for select games. Go to floridapanthers.com/rush for game dates and more information. Mention the Panthers on the road. Monday night at 8 Eastern will be in Nashville. Then it's right back home. Panthers and the Arizona Coyotes Wednesday night at 7. Get your tickets, floridapanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, or by calling 954-835-PUCK. Let's get right into it. Said we'd have a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. We're going to get that in before we're out of time here on Panthers Insider. Kevin Stemlin joined the most recent episode of Territory Talk in his first season as a Panther. He has solidified himself as one of the Panthers' top face-off men. And, well, as far as his face-off numbers, part of taking draws, something he takes a lot of pride in. Here's Kevin Stemlin first talking about the importance of taking face-offs, not only to the overall game, but to his game especially.
Well, obviously, it helps me to get more ice time. Even in late during the games, important face-offs, it's always huge to win the puck. So, obviously, I spend a lot of time on it, and I feel like that's a big part of my game, and obviously it helps me to grow confidence and stuff like that. So obviously that's a big part of it.
And you look at guys throughout their careers, that it's one of those stats that always gets better with time. Barkey's gotten better with time. You've gotten better with time. What is it about faceoffs where just the more time you put in, the more seasons you have, that you just get better at faceoffs?
I think you actually think about it more. You're like, you know how important all the faceoffs are, especially like D zone and O zone. That's probably the biggest thing I felt like coming over and or playing back home. It's been like, if I win it or not, it doesn't really matter as much. Mm. But like now, like I notice it more. Like, when you start with the puck, obviously that's
a
huge advantage. Penalty kill, it helps kill off the first 30 seconds or something like that. It's like, that's probably a big part of
the game. This is something I'm going to continue to really grind at, because you felt like you were getting really comfortable at it. Was there a time where you felt like that was one of your strong suits?
Well, I think it started in Winnipeg. The coach there. The coach there told me I can do this job if I just put my head down and work on the face-offs and stuff like that. So I took that with me, and obviously just kept that going this year.
And on that, I mean, some guys spend a lot of time trying to find that role. Just how nice is it for yourself knowing your role now? It seems like you really figured out, especially going back to Winnipeg, but this season in particular.
Yeah, obviously that's nice to come into games and know what to focus on, what to improve on, even, and just like if I do this job, I can get going from there, and stuff like that in games. So that's huge.
And we were talking about obviously South Florida being here, but we've been on the road a lot. I think it was 22 days of 29 by the time we got back from those two big trips. Just for yourself, just how much do you enjoy, you know, seeing America and being on the road? And was there maybe one favorite city we visited on these last two big trips, or a favorite thing you did?
Well, obviously, Vail was great,
and
I love being out on the road, especially previous years when I was in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
it was nice to be on the road, but It's just fun to be around the group, around the guys, do stuff that you probably normally at home wouldn't do. Go out to dinners and explore cities and I don't know, go shopping or just see new things, which is, I like that. And it's just a social thing, I feel like.
How are you killing time on the plane? Are you a book guy? Are you a movie guy? Are you a cards guy?
Yeah, we play cards. I play both tables, so I'm kind of in between the poker and our table with seven up, seven down. So it's fun. It gets the time going.
We're in the back of the plane. We hear sometimes it gets loud up there. Some big hands are won.
And we've seen you circulate a little bit.
Yeah, I've been back and forth.
Who is there? One guy you can maybe point to this year as maybe like the big winner of this year? Is there a real guy that's been dominating?
Oh, I haven't been around the table that much, really, but I know Ekblad has a big hands one. I know even Verhage has some big ones.
When Ek wins a big hand, you can tell, like, the next day of practice, there's some days where he's just walking with his chest out, and you can tell things went well at the card table.
He likes that, yes. Yes, for sure.
Well, and I want to ask you, too, about being on the road as much as you guys have, and to have the record on the road that you guys have. I got to think that across all sports, teams that play well on the road, team chemistry has to be a big part of that. Because when you go on the road, you're spending a lot of time with each other. And I got to think that off-ice chemistry lends itself to having success on the ice.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like, if you feel like you like the guy next to you, you want to fight harder for him. Like, that's just common sense, really. It's just easy. And like, obviously we have a great group here, and it's fun to be part of.
And when you have a road record like you guys do, and a big chunk of that recent 9-game win streak was on the road and on the road against good teams, does the confidence that you can get from having a good stretch of games on the road, does that maybe go even farther than any other game?
Yeah, it's huge. Just to get the confidence and then to believe that you know we can do it, really. Like, you feel like the big games where you know the team is going to step up, which gives you just the confidence boost.
And this is your first time on the podcast with us. We always like to turn back the clock when we get a guy on for the first time. Just how did you get into hockey? Like we said, you grew up in Stockholm. Were you more of a city kid? Were you in the suburbs? And just kind of, when did you kind of first get onto the ice and start playing hockey?
Yeah, I started going on ice probably when I was 4 or 5. Mm. But we lived 20 minutes outside of Stockholm. But like, when I grew up, it was hockey and like soccer during the summers. So it's back and forth. I'm a big soccer fan now. Yeah. So like, sometimes I wish I played soccer. But growing up, we in Stockholm, there's a lot of rinks. Mm. It's like a small Toronto, I'll say. Everyone plays hockey, basically, it feels like. So growing up, it was a lot of hockey, and obviously summers was a lot of soccer.
Have you made it to an intergame yet with the Messi mania going on?
I was actually there, and he was injured. So
he's here for a couple years. We got another chance coming up.
Yeah, we'll get him next year.
On that, I mean, growing up, were you always a big guy, or was there like a year where you just finally shot up?
No, I think I was. Yeah, I was a little bigger, but not like like I am now. I'm part of one of the biggest guys, but probably around 14 or something like that, and I started to grow a little bit more.
How long did you play soccer?
Until I was 15, I think. So that was kind of in between. I had to choose.
So do you take a lot of pride in the pregame soccer circle? Like being
With my knee injuries and stuff, so I haven't really played, which is too bad. I would love to play.
Now, for you growing up, how did the soccer skills, do you think, lend themselves to having success in hockey?
Well, I think it was more of a social thing, just meet guys, get new friends, just not sit at home. Mm. Well, obviously, you get cardio, you get stuff like that, and you get a feel of a, how you say it, like a ball feeling. As a big guy, it's hard to keep track of your legs and all the parts of a big body. I feel that helped me a lot.
Did you have a favorite hockey player and a favorite soccer player growing up?
I'm more soccer in that case. It was Thierry Henry.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
The Arsenal Henry those days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a big Arsenal fan, so he's a big part of that.
Kevin Stenlin of the Panthers right there. Loves hockey, loves soccer. Great chat there. You can catch the whole episode if you liked what you heard at floridapanthers.com/territorytalk or wherever you get your podcasts. We're just about out of time. Big thanks to all of you who tuned in. Big thanks to Marcos Gonzalez on the other side of the glass. And once again, Panthers on the road Monday at 8 Eastern in Nashville. Back home to take on Arizona Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Amerant Bank Arena, floridapanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Thanks again for joining us on Panthers Insider. I'm Doug Plagans. This has been the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans here with you. Panthers fan Student Rush is back for the 23-24 season. Come party with your Panthers this season once again. Enjoy student-exclusive pricing for select games. Go to floridapanthers.com/rush for game dates and more information. Mention the Panthers on the road. Monday night at 8 Eastern will be in Nashville. Then it's right back home. Panthers and the Arizona Coyotes Wednesday night at 7. Get your tickets, floridapanthers.com, seatgeek.com, or by calling 954-835-PUCK. Let's get right into it. Said we'd have a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. We're going to get that in before we're out of time here on Panthers Insider. Kevin Stenlin joined the most recent episode of Territory Talk in his first season as a Panther. He has solidified himself as one of the Panthers' top face-off men. And, well, as far as his face-off numbers, part of taking draws, something he takes a lot of pride in. Here's Kevin Stenlin first talking about the importance of taking face-offs, not only to the overall game, but to his game especially.
Well, obviously, it helps me to get more ice time, even in late during the games. Important face-offs, it's always huge to win the puck. So, obviously, I spend a lot of time on it, and I feel like that's a big part of my game, and obviously helped me to grow confidence and stuff like that. So obviously that's a big part of it.
And you look at guys throughout their careers, it's one of those stats that always gets better with time. Barkey's gotten better with time. You've gotten better with time. What is it about faceoffs where just the more time you put in, the more seasons you have, that you just get better at faceoffs?
I think you actually think about it more. You're like, you know how important all the faceoffs are, especially like D zone and O zone. That's probably the biggest thing I felt like coming over and or playing back home. It's been like, if I win it or not, it doesn't really matter as much. Mm. But like now, like I notice it more. Like, when you stop with the puck, obviously that's a huge advantage. Your penalty kill, it helps kill off the first 30 seconds or something like that. It's like, that's probably a big part of it.
Part of the game. This is something I'm going to continue to really grind at, because you felt like you were getting really comfortable at it. Was there a time where you felt like that was one of your strong suits?
Well, I think it started in Winnipeg. The coach there, the coach there told me I can do this job if I just put my head down and work on the face-offs and stuff like that. So I took that with me, and obviously just kept that going this year.
And on that, I mean, some guys spend a lot of time trying to find that role. Just how nice is it for yourself knowing your role now? It seems like you really figured out, especially going back to Winnipeg, but this season in particular.
Yeah, obviously that's nice to come into games and know what to focus on, what to like improve on, even, and just like if I do this job, I can get going from there, and stuff like that in games. So that's huge.
And we were talking about obviously South Florida being here, but we've been on the road a lot. I think it was 22 days of 29 by the time we got back from those two big trips. Just in terms for yourself, just how much do you enjoy, you know, seeing America and being on the road? And was there maybe one favorite city we visited on these last two big trips, or a favorite thing you did?
Well, obviously, Vail was great, and I love being out on the road, especially previous years when I was in Winnipeg. At least. Yeah. it was nice to be on the road, but it's just fun to be around the group, around the guys, do stuff that you probably normally at home wouldn't do, go out to dinners and explore cities and I don't know, go shopping or just see new things, which is, I like that, and it's just a social thing, I feel like.
How are you killing time on the plane? Are you a book guy? Are you a movie guy? Are you a cards guy?
Yeah, we play cards. Yeah. I'm I play both tables, so I'm kind of in between the poker and our table with 7 up, 7 down. So it's fun. It gets the time going.
We're in the back of the plan. We hear sometimes it gets loud up there. Some big hands are won.
And we've seen you circulate a little bit.
Yeah. I've been back and forth.
Who is there? One guy you can maybe point to this year as maybe like the big winner of this year? Is there a real guy that's been dominating?
Oh, I haven't been around the table that much, really, but I know Ekblad has some big hands one. I know even Verhage has some big ones.
When Ek wins a big hand, you can tell like, the next day of practice, there's some days where he's just walking with his chest out, and you can tell things went well at the card table.
He likes that, yes. Yes, for sure.
Well, and I want to ask you, too, about being on the road as much as you guys have and to have the record on the road that you guys have. I got to think that across all sports, teams that play well on the road, team chemistry has to be a big part of that. Because when you go on the road, you're spending a lot of time with each other. And I got to think that off-ice chemistry lends itself to having success on the ice.
For sure. For sure. Like if you feel in line and you like the guy next to you, it's you want to fight harder for him. Like, that's just common sense, really. It's just easy. And like, obviously, we have a great group here, and it's fun to be part of.
And when you have a road record like you guys do, and a big chunk of that recent 9-game win streak was on the road and on the road against good teams, does the confidence that you can get from having a good stretch of games on the road, does that maybe go even farther than any other game?
Yeah, it's huge. Just to get the confidence and then to believe that you know we can do it, really. Like you feel like the big games where you know the team is going to step up, which gives you just the confidence boost.
And this is your first time on the podcast with us. We always like to turn back the clock when we get a guy on for the first time. Just how did you get into hockey? Like you said, you grew up in Stockholm. Were you more of a city kid? Were you in the suburbs? And just kind of when did you kind of first get onto the ice and start playing hockey?
Yeah, I started going on ice probably when I was 4 or 5. Mm. But we lived 20 minutes outside of Stockholm. But like when I grew up, it was hockey and like soccer during the summers. So it was back and forth. I'm a big soccer fan now. Yeah. So like sometimes I wish I played soccer. But no, growing up, we in Stockholm, there's a lot of rinks. Mm. It's like a small Toronto, I'll say. Everyone plays hockey, basically, it feels like. So growing up, it was a lot of hockey, and obviously summers was a lot of soccer.
Have you made it to an Inter game yet with the Messi mania going on?
I was actually there, and he was injured. So,
he's here for a couple years. We got another chance coming up.
Yeah, we'll get him next year.
On that, I mean, growing up, were you always a big guy, or was there like a year where you just finally shot up?
No, I think I was a little bigger, but not like like I am now. I'm part of one of the biggest guys, but probably around 14 or something like that, and I started to grow a little bit more.
How long did you play soccer?
Until I was 15, I think. So that was kind of in between. I had to choose.
So do you take a lot of pride in the pregame soccer circle? Like being
I actually,
guys?
With my knee injuries and stuff, so I haven't really played, which is too bad. I would love to play.
Now, for you growing up, how did the soccer skills, do you think, lend themselves to having success in hockey?
Well, I think it was more of a social thing, just meet guys, get new friends, just not sit at home. Mm. Well, obviously, you get cardio, you get stuff like that, and you get a feel of a, how you say it, like a ball feeling. As a big guy, it's hard to keep track on your legs and all the parts of a big body. I feel that helped me a lot.
Did you have a favorite hockey player and a favorite soccer player growing up?
I'm more soccer in that case. It was Thierry Henry.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
The Arsenal Henry those days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a big Arsenal fan, so that's he's a big part of that.
Kevin Stenlin of the Panthers right there. Loves hockey, loves soccer. Great chat there. You can catch the whole episode if you liked what you heard at floridapanthers.com/territorytalk or wherever you get your podcasts. We're just about out of time. Big thanks to all of you who tuned in. Big thanks to Marcos Gonzalez on the other side of the glass. And once again, Panthers on the road Monday at 8 Eastern in Nashville, back home to take on Arizona Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Amerant Bank Arena, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Thanks again for joining us on Panthers Insider. I'm Doug Plagans. This has been the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.